Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
I've already been to the airport this morning.
I was going to say, you got here awfully early.
Yeah.
So, quick airport drop-off for the missus.
Honor flight today, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is lovely. I have an opportunity to go. I should probably find that email. I printed it out.
You should take your turn.
Yeah, they asked us to go last year, and it wasn't working out, and we've got a list for this year, and I just need to get back to them.
Yeah.
But today's one of them, and today won't work, guys. Sorry.
Dang.
I'm here.
Dang.
Yeah. It was just odd. We pulled up, and Shannon, it's a weekend trip on a Tuesday.
It's a weekend trip.
It's a carry-on type luggage trip.
Ah, okay.
So she could skip the counter. And we get there. I'm like, there's two cops by this car. I'm like, how long has he been parked where you're not supposed to park?
Oh, boy.
And then I kind of look through the window, and I see a ton of red, white, and blue. I'm like, ah, they're helping him to a wheelchair to go inside, because so many of these are Vietnam War vets or World War II vets or
yeah.
Korean or whatever. And then they take the day, they go out to D.C., they see all the memorials and fly back in the same day.
It's
a really cool experience.
A great program. Yeah.
So that was happening at your Eastern Iowa Airport this morning.
Proud to say it's happening, yeah.
It was very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got to see a little bit of it.
Just through the window.
It wasn't
I
just
technically
like
peeped, I guess.
Calm before the storm. Do you know when their flight was? Or
I don't know. I think it takes off because it's chartered. I don't think it's the regularly scheduled D.C. flight. I mean, the way this airport works, I've come to notice, and we've done a live show there before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of activity from like 5 to 7.
Yes.
And then it gets really quiet.
Until about
11?
Yeah.
10:30, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
But so many of our flights go to the big regional hubs, and they're all leaving at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And we had that. We were there for the first direct flight to D.C.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if that flight is what they use or if they have a special plane.
Yeah, if it's a different plane,
yeah,
that would make sense,
but
too.
But there's a lot of pageantry and pomp and circumstance, both getting there and then I've never seen this part, but when they get back, because sometimes it's 11, 12 o'clock at night.
It can be pretty late at night.
Yeah.
Which is a whole day, isn't it?
Yes.
Ugh, wow.
And it's an emotional day. It's a lot of energy that day.
Uh-huh.
Right? I think you're feeling great when you come back, but I bet you're wiped.
I bet.
At the same time.
You just solid night of sleep.
Yeah, whew. For sure.
So that's
my airport report.
That's a
from four. What time did we get there? I was there like 4:20 this morning.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are up and at it.
Typically, I'd just be feeding the dogs about then, you know, feed myself about then.
Just thinking about getting ready.
Nope. Everything's been adjusted back this morning. So
you're raring to go, man.
Well, I'm right. Yes.
You're wound.
I'm 3 hours into my day at this point.
This is basically like 11 o'clock.
It's exactly like 11 o'clock.
Wow.
This was a 9 to 5 or an 8 to 5
yeah.
job. Yeah, this would be I'm like, let's go to lunch.
Halfway through the day.
I'd be walking around there. Anybody want to go to lunch? Anybody?
Seriously, you're going to want lunch at 10 a.m.
That's why I'm really happy that there was a surprise on the back table, which I'll tell you about in a little bit.
Oh. And this is so rare. I mean, it's not often that you end up serving on jury duty, right?
I've done it once. I've been summoned twice.
You've been summoned twice?
Yeah.
I've been summoned
Thrice. But you did a federal case, right?
I did.
Yeah. So mine was Linn County.
I served, right?
But I bet it's got to be an under 10% of you running into people who've actually served on a jury.
Or that you, like when you go to serve jury
right.
duty, that you run into people that you know.
Oh, that has got to be even lower.
It's got to be. I ran it. My mother-in-law, we didn't end up serving on the
right.
same
But you're
trial
in the same pool?
But same pool, which is just weird, right? In Humboldt County, Northern California, a husband and wife both got jury duty and both ended up serving on the same jury. They both got selected.
How did the judge let that happen?
Agreed. How is that? What? There are 136,000 people in the county. 106,000 of them are adults. Only 12 selected for a jury. Like, it's 0.00001.
And I presume California is no different than here. It's also not you get picked and then you just have to serve. There's voir dire, right?
Yes.
The big pool comes in and questions are asked from both.
Are you the right person we want on this jury? Do you have the background to be able to make a judgment in this case?
And they have to say, don't they, that they're married at some point?
Yeah, it has to come up in voir dire.
I'm very voir surprised.
I am
too.
They
got voir accepted.
Their names are David and Tori Wilmington. Tori was one of those people that's like, I can't wait to serve jury duty. Like, I don't get those people. Good for you. I'm happy that you're happy.
I don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it.
It's a waste of time. And now, if I were to be called now, I legit think I would go in and say, look, my job and sleep cycle have changed. If this thing goes to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I will fall asleep.
10 out of 10. Yes. I guarantee
will fall asleep. I will be a bad juror.
I will. Yes.
And I'm all in. I want to hear the facts.
I'm
love
invested in the case.
Yes.
But I have to sleep it too.
I'm going
to
fall asleep. I'm sorry.
That's part of my demands as a juror.
So this is why I brought my wife. She's my juror backup.
She's a little bit of a better listener.
Yes.
At least according to her, I never listen. So
she's the better one anyway. I'll just be in the back. Napping on these hard wooden chairs.
She's like, oh gosh, I'm so excited to
so
be here.
So are they currently serving or is the case done?
Case is done.
Okay.
It was a drunk driving case and they were fine with being selected. She was a little bit more, this is so cool.
And he's like, honey, calm down. We talked about this.
Honey, just shh.
Just calm down. It's jury duty.
He was not quite as excited, but you know.
She also gets that way when she gets a free dessert at Applebee's, I bet.
It's so exciting!
Is this the Oreo cheesecake?
I love it!
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Well, I think I might have put this out into the universe. Because yesterday, I went for a walk. It was very, very breezy.
Yeah.
So breezy. I had my hair in a ponytail and it was the wind
still whipping around,
was blowing it out of the ponytail holder.
Wow.
It was powerful, but I was determined. I wanted to get my steps in for the day. The doggo did not have daycare, so he needed his steps in too. So I was like, come on, Rex, we're going for a long walk. I was serious. I was committed. I was going all the way to Morgan Creek. I was going to go through the whole trail and make it all the way back.
Wow.
I know. But that is not what happened. For I was walking. And as I was walking, we're going up a pretty big hill. One of the only big hills on the trail at Morgan Creek. And as we're going up the hill, I see something is in the path. And I don't want my dog to get excited. So I remain calm.
Mm-hmm.
As I get closer, I can see, yep, it's what I thought it was. That is definitely a snake. But wait, it could be dead. It's not moving. And if it's dead, there is still a chance we could just go around it.
Right.
And we could just, you know, continue on with our long, long walk.
Practice the old leave it command.
Yes.
Leave it.
Yeah, leave it.
Leave it.
Leave it. But as we got a little bit closer, I was like, I'm just going to go around. We're just going to go around this headless snake. The snake then starts moving.
Wait, it didn't have a head?
I thought it was headless. But you know, the snake.
Were you in Sleepy Hollow? Where were you?
No. Morgan Creek. Its own version of Sleepy Hollow. The snake, like.
Did they have a tiny pumpkin head?
It had like, you know how you like kind of put your head down when you're doing heads up, seven up or something in grade school?
It's also how my dog sleeps.
Yeah.
Kind of tucks it in.
The snake had.
Oh, no.
Put his head down on himself.
Yeah, I get it.
So his head was hidden under his body, and he was not aware of me approaching. Suddenly, he was aware, and he's like, oh, pardon me. I'll get out of your way, ma'am, and start snaking its way off into the grass right in front of me. And I'm like, nope, 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 nope. And we turned around at that point.
That ended the walk?
It was not a very long walk, but it was long enough, and we, you know, picked up the pace just a little bit.
What type of snake was it?
Now that I don't know. You know who would know is Jaden. Jaden
knows
night.
Snakes. The nice lady of the evening, Jaden.
The lovely lady of the evening,
yes.
Jaden, would know what snake this is. I'm guessing it was probably no big deal.
Like a
garter.
Is it a bull snake?
No, it was like.
Show me size.
Oh gosh.
How long was it?
It was like.
2 feet?
2 feet long.
Okay.
At least 2 feet
long. Is that
long.
Too long for a garter snake?
I don't know. It was too big to get involved with, in my opinion. It wasn't a little baby snake.
Right.
It didn't, you know, it wasn't small enough to fall into a margarita.
Sure, yes.
It was substantial.
It was noticeable.
It was about the same size as my dog's chew toy, so I really didn't want him to get confused.
Also, good move to, because even if it was harmless, even a snake bite on your dog, what do you do with that?
I don't know. Suck out the venom?
I thought you pee on it. It's one of the two.
Ah, no!
That's jellyfish. That's jellyfish, which you will not run into at Morgan Creek. You're fine.
Remind me to never go hiking with you. I'll just pee on it.
You know
I'll
what?
Just pee on it.
You don't have to worry about it. And that's exactly how I hike.
I think I stepped into some poison ivy.
I'll save you.
I mean, he really wants
I'm just
to
constantly
help.
Drinking water, so I'm always prepared.
How is that your go-to move? Just pee on it?
Well, we're leaving the campsite. Gotta get rid of this fire. Eric! You got it, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
I had
you're
two Gatorades this morning.
What an outdoorsman.
So outdoorsy. No, I'm not. Okay, here is this morning. 04 dark something. I don't even remember. 410?
It was really early.
Shannon goes to the airport. I'm leaving the airport, and I'm like, Casey's Pizza?
Yes, please.
I'm like, hey, do they make, is it fresh at Fort? Like, I grew up in a world where Casey's sometimes didn't open until 6, right? So in some areas, now they have it at least at 5. But 4 seemed like, what am I getting?
It seems like the 24-hour joint is long gone, you know?
Yeah.
It's harder to do.
But that massive Casey's truck stop.
Oh, you got
right
ready.
On Wright Brothers. So I pull in. I'm like, no, I'm in the mood for like down home bowl of Lucky Charms.
A down home bowl of Lucky Charms. Yes.
Take me back to my down home days.
As one gets at a truck stop. Go on.
Because when you go into the snack section, listen, lady, when you go into the snack section, usually you can find individual those bowls, those plastic bowls. Yeah.
Yeah.
So why are you making such a face?
I don't know. Like down home, I thought you wanted gravy.
I just wanted something that took me back to my childhood.
Okay.
And a bowl of Lucky Charms was it. I had my sights set on a bowl of Lucky Charms, figuring the biggest Casey's and a 5 Casey's, you know, there's Casey's everywhere.
Yeah.
Would have it.
Yeah.
They didn't. They didn't have any individual servings of breakfast cereal.
That doesn't surprise me.
It doesn't?
No.
I feel like I see them everywhere when I don't want them.
I think that's a grocery store item.
It just feels like in a place where you could also buy a very small pack of hot dogs.
No, you're right.
Because sometimes it seems like it's perfect for a camping getaway or fishing. This seemed like an item they should have. They had full-size boxes. Didn't want that.
They had full-size boxes
of
cereal?
Yeah, see? That's why I'm confused. I swear to you, every other Casey's or whatever convenience store, Fast and Fresh, insert name here, has individual cartons of those cereals. And
really?
They didn't have it anywhere.
So did you get a full-size box of Lucky Charms?
No.
Ah, Eric!
I did 2 laps. I'm sure they were wondering what I was doing. And I just leave with the coffee.
Boring!
And then I got here and started my workday sad and hungry. And then my new best friend, Todd Brommelkamp, walked in. And Todd said, hey guys, donuts on the back table. And I went, yes!
He saved the entire situation.
Quick start of the rescue. It's their glazers. And I will be enjoying this for breakfast this morning. Thanks to my new best friend, Todd Brommelkamp.
Time for The Buzz with Danson Eric Hansen on
Z102.9. Listen, Election Day in Linn County today.
That's right, today is.
Governor Kim Reynolds issuing a proclamation setting today, the April 29th, the Tuesday, as a day for a special election in Iowa House District 78 following the resignation of Iowa State Representative Sammy Sheets of April 1st. So today's election will be only for voters in Iowa House District 78. You got 2 candidates. You got Angel Ramirez and Bernie Hayes. Polling places open at 7. We'll go till 8. Voters will need to vote at their assigned polling place today, Election Day, in Linn County. We got you know what we call these things around here?
What do we call
them? We call them sport shorts. And this one is a name I've not said on this radio station for 2 years.
What?
Spencer Petras.
Oh, Yeah.
Former Hawkeye quarterback, Spencer Petras.
I remember you, Spencer Petras.
Left the Hawkeyes, went to Utah State, and...
How'd that go?
I did a little bit better there.
Okay.
He was eligible for the draft this weekend.
Did he draft?
He did not get drafted.
Oh.
But he's been invited to tryouts.
Oh!
Former Hawkeye quarterback, Spencer Petras, will spend the next 2 weekends trying to make the team for either the Kansas City Chiefs or the Los Angeles Chargers.
So what does he have to, like, what do you think they're looking for?
Well, you're probably the fourth string quarterback if you're trying out.
Yeah.
So arm strength.
All right.
Accuracy.
But they would have to keep him at quarterback. He wouldn't like transfer into a different.
I don't think there's.
Okay.
Usually a quarterback at that level, since you're not starting and you're not on the offense, usually plays what's known as scout team.
Okay.
So you play the quarterback of the other team. Maybe, oh. Is he adaptable to the teams that they would face that year?
Gotcha.
And he could play like them. I will say this, though. I didn't even know this. Spencer was actually back in Iowa City in March for Pro Day. Pro Day is when you have NFL scouts come to your college and you show off your athletes. It's Pro Day. And usually it's before the draft or the combine. He did not go to show off. He was there to just help throw footballs. He's just a helper.
So he's just a nice boy.
He's a nice boy. And Ferentz, it's a great compliment, but he's a really smart guy. He'll make a great coach one day, right?
Yeah.
It's like your potential probably isn't playing. And that's probably what he wants to do now.
Right.
But he's like, he's got a football head. He's got a football mind. He'll
but
be a great coach.
You want to be in the mix.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at least he's still trying to live his dream. He tried at Iowa, didn't work. Tried at Utah, graduated, and maybe will be the backup. To the backup to the backup of a football team in the NFL.
Well, keep dreaming.
We wish
dreamer.
You well, Spencer Petras. All right, this is a really cool thing happening tomorrow at the Eastern Iowa Airport. Problem-solving teams from Albernett and the College Community School Districts will be showcasing their solutions to a challenge given to them by Delta Airlines.
What was the challenge?
How to improve the experience once you get to the gate at the airport.
Ooh.
So let's think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Your journey starts at your house. Let's say like you're leaving.
Okay.
Right? So my journey is I've packed. I've planned to leave my house to strangers or empty.
Mm-hmm.
I got to drive to the airport.
Finding a parking spot.
Then I got to check luggage. What do you mean it's $55?
Oh, man.
What do you mean it's overweight?
Oh.
Then I have to go through security. What do you mean I can't have this bottle of water? Why do I have to take my shoes off?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you have to read signs above you to find basically a living room that you're going to sit in for 2 hours.
Where am I going
to
go sit?
Do my devices work? Can I plug them in? Am I allowed to have food here? Why does he have food here? Why are those people just standing at the gate? That's the experience they're trying to fix. We've all lived it. And that's what they're given. It's a junior achievement project. So they're going to be making pitches tomorrow to a local panel of judges. They have been doing research, collecting data. They're working with local business leaders to understand what a customer experience is like, right? Because you've got people who know what they're doing.
Yep.
People who don't want to be there. People who have questions for the gate agent.
Right. People, nervous flyers.
Nervous. Yep. People who don't talk to me. You have all of the above. How do you handle that customer base? I find this fascinating.
That's a good project.
So yeah, through Junior Achievement, they're going to make their pitches tomorrow at the airport. The future of the gate experience might be discovered and on display tomorrow. We just don't know.
That's pretty wild.
It's a cool program and a great project. That's got us feeling all right.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Diddy is getting ready for his day in court. And I think we've got a little bit of a sneak peek into his defense strategy. Diddy's defense has a doctor lined up to testify, saying that he's not responsible for the horrible crimes he is said to have committed, because he was under the influence at his own freak-off parties. The prosecutors are opposing the use of this doctor.
If this passes, then wouldn't every drunk driving conviction need to be overturned? Because I wasn't in control because I was drunk. So it's not my fault. I'm not guilty.
So whose fault is it? Right. So they think that his mental state is irrelevant, the opposite side, because this particular doctor, in addition to, this is a flimsy
right.
excuse, is a Columbia professor who has never personally examined Diddy. His testimony would be based on the experience of other people.
It's abstract theory.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a very flimsy argument.
I mean, that's how expert defense usually works, right? You got your guy you always go to because they'll probably have the research that
he's got all of the...
Yeah, it'll back up what you at least... Because all they need to do in the mind of the jury, right, is any sort of doubt.
Reasonable doubt.
That's it.
Yes. Diddy's trial charges are racketeering conspiracy, sex trafficking, and transportation to engage in prostitution. And it begins Monday.
Wow.
It's coming Monday. So, yeah.
So if the doctor gets thrown out, are they going to use the Shaggy defense?
Well,
Wasn't me.
I mean, you might as well put that in the back pocket if the doctor thing doesn't fly. Wasn't me. Good luck. We've got a new chapter in the Taylor Swift, Blake Lively drama. Travis Kelce unfollowed Ryan Reynolds on Instagram.
What?
The men's are involved now. Each one of their men is no longer following. So the sources say it's because of the legal issues between Blake and Ryan's Justin right. Baldoni trial over the movie It Ends With Us. It's unclear if Travis actually has a problem with Ryan and Blake, or if he's just distancing himself because of the whole legal mess.
So I presume he doesn't follow Blake then either, right? He's just trying to remove himself from any connection.
From Blake and Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan is still following Travis, by the way. And Blake is still following Taylor, but not Travis. And Taylor doesn't follow anybody.
This is not Z Sleaze. This is a junior high lunchroom. Oh my God.
It's so silly. So silly.
She wants her locker next to his locker.
I don't want to be by them.
But he has to be across the hall. What is happening?
My boyfriend unfollowed your
These
boyfriend.
These are multi-million dollar
I know.
Adults.
And the headline is boyfriend unfriends husband. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Let's just put our jealousies aside, shall we?
Yeah.
Because I want to talk about a record, and we can't think about the world record we want to achieve. We need to focus on saying congratulations to Jack Black, because he achieved a record. Jack Black just broke the record on the Billboard Hot 100 chart for the quickest time it took for a song that is a very short song to land on the charts. He has a song that is 34 seconds long.
It made the Hot 100?
It made the Hot 100. It's called Steve's Lava Chicken from the Minecraft movie. That's it. That's the song.
He's so good at this.
Yes.
He is so good at that.
He is so good, right? And everybody's loving that movie. It's having a moment. By the way, the Minecraft movie... The makers are leaning into the whole chicken jockey chaos thing that they're having a problem at a lot of movie theaters. So they're going to do special block party edition screenings of the movie.
So you could do your craziness outside.
You are encouraged to do the whole experience, talk, sing along with the movie. Some people are trying to watch a movie and some people want to, you know.
It's an experience.
Experience it. So if you want to have the experience, you go to those special screenings.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's just like what they did with Wicked.
Yes.
If you want to sing, wait for the sing one.
Wait for the sing-along.
Yeah.
Okay. Go to the experience Minecraft. Just let other people watch the movie first. That's what we like to call.
Z's Sleaze.
It all started with bananas. A banana hat record at the City Museum in St. Louis.
Scoffing at their record.
Makes us believe accomplishing a world record is within our grasp.
It's easy.
And 6 weeks after that story, I finally feel like we've landed on a location where at least we have a couple ideas on the table.
Yeah, I think narrowing our vision down, we're like, we just want to do a world record. What should we do? Anybody have any ideas? And now that we have two that I think are very approachable, I feel like everybody's popping off all these different ideas on how to achieve our world record.
Right now, there's a lot of pro-con listing going on in my head.
Oh, yeah.
So one of them in Lebanon, in 2016, largest cereal breakfast attended by over 1,800 people. That seems accomplishable. We are in a cereal town.
That I like that because it seems like it makes sense for our community. And we have the access.
Yes.
It seems doable.
So a good even 2,000 people eating cereal, I think it's doable. I don't know how you do it, but I think it's doable.
Yeah.
So that was one idea.
It does sound messy.
And then late last week, I landed on largest gathering of people wearing conical, so ice cream cone, cone-shaped party hats. That's about 1,200. That's a little less as far as people. Also seems very accomplishable, and we were getting a lot of great ideas on that one yesterday.
Good morning. I had an idea for your party hat.
What was the idea?
I tried reaching out or thinking about reaching out to you, the Infernals or the Hawkeyes or one of the other sports teams, and doing a sponsored night with the hat that could be co-branded with both the sports teams and
B102.9. So that's a great idea on a variety of levels. Mm-hmm. We could maybe get it sponsored, throw a logo on that hat, right?
That's a good
idea. That brings another player into the game.
Yeah.
Also, her head's exactly where ours is. Find places where people are already gathered.
Just go where they're already at.
Yeah.
Which we got a couple of texts on the text line. Amanda said that maybe you just go to a school, get a couple of schools together or something. Sean had a great idea. There's graduation coming up. You've got classes of like 500 students. They're probably going to bring anywhere from 2 to 4 people with them. If they all put on some party hats, boom. Record.
Put the mortar and pestle down.
Yeah.
And just put on
Take
a party hat.
Take your pointy hat off and put on a different pointy hat.
Throw it up in the air.
Yeah.
When they graduate. All great ideas. One text, though, came in from a mover and shaker.
Yeah.
In the Cedar Rapids community. This is our good friend Jen Draper with the Cedar Rapids Metro Economic Alliance and specifically the Downtown Farmers Market. Good morning, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Good morning, you guys.
What do you think about just in general us trying to go for a world record? Have you ever been part of a world record?
I never have. I'm really excited about the idea of it, though.
Okay,
I think there's some community pride behind this thing if we can get this thing accomplished.
For sure, which is why I thought we should do it at a place where there's already lots of amazing community people already gathered.
What's your average attendance, roughly, at farmers markets?
At a farmers market, on average, we see around 13,000 people.
How do you count them?
Great question.
So, back in the day before cell phones, or before cell phones were quite as popular and data mining was quite as popular, we would actually walk around every hour with like little head counters and just click everyone we saw.
Like those little silver click, 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 click,
And the numbers really kind of trended around the same. And so we felt pretty confident in at least that data as a trend sort of set.
But you can do that now with cell phone technology?
But now we have technology to be able to count how many cell phones were in the area, and it adjusts for the number of kids who might be with those families or people who didn't have their cell phone that day.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Have you ever asked?
It's kind of scary, but
it's a little big brother, but that's the world we live in.
Yeah.
So to do this, so the volume of people is great.
That's we
need already know
that.
People are going to be there.
They're going to be there.
So that's very helpful, Jen. Where world records seem to fail is when you have large gatherings of people. You might have the right number, but they're impossible to count because they won't stop. And we don't want to stop a farmer's market, right?
No.
So my first question is whether if cereal, let's say we do cereal, that's like 1,900 to 2,000 people. Where are we going to put them? And if we do party hats, it's a little less, 1,200, 1,300.
Right.
How do we get them all to know they need to be in one location? That's the thing
I can't wrap my head around.
We schedule it, okay.
I think we say a specific time, and we have them meet in Green Square Park because it's pretty wide open in that space. We can fit a lot of people. We actually have a couple of cereal companies who sponsor the market, so maybe we partner with one of them on one of those days. I don't know.
Love that.
See if we can gather everyone in that same area and tell them at 10 o'clock you need to be there, at 10:15 we're distributing cereal, and at 10:20 we're counting, or whatever math we need to figure out there.
That sounds exciting. Like somebody who runs a farmer's market.
Yeah, you have this down.
This is your booth number, and you need to be here at this time, and we won't let you in if you're not.
No exceptions.
Guys, just think big right now. Let's say I'm wearing a party hat when I enter Green Square, and then I take it off and I put cereal in the hat.
Use the party hat as a bowl.
In the hat.
It's gross, but is that possible?
So sick. And there's hair. There's a little bit of hair in your cereal.
Just a little bit of hair.
But you don't care because you got two world records.
You were part of
two world records at one time.
Yes.
Woo! Oh.
And that could be a world record for
the
world
most
records.
World records was done in one world record attempt.
Can Can you see it, Jen? Oh, can you see it?
I'm getting excited.
I feel like that's a world record in and of itself. Like
yeah, it should be a world record
for the number of attempts of a world record at one time.
Do you see this
failed attempts happening?
You also have Market After Dark, and that's just a cool vibe. We could also do something there maybe too, right?
We do. And, you know, the party hats are really timely this year because we're celebrating the 10th season of Market After Dark and the 10th or the 20th season of the Downtown Farmers Market. So it's like a birthday party.
Happy birthday, Market After Dark and Farmers Market.
All right.
Yeah. So, so Market After Dark started as a birthday party for the morning market when the morning market turned 10.
And now
I was part of the setup crew. I remember that party
now
very
that
well.
It's 20.
Very well. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I tell you what, let's get this under our belts this year and we come back and do something with alcohol when it turns 21 next year.
There you go.
I love it.
Okay. As we're telling everybody right now, like there are no bad ideas. Everything's just that's a great idea.
Right.
What do we do now?
We got to get this thing off the ground.
I think, Jen, if you are okay just kind of circling the airport right now, we just don't quite know where to land you yet.
We'll clear you for landing a little
bit. Problem.
We hope so. We've got a lot of offers coming in, a lot of locations to look at. I think it's going to come down to logistics and what makes this easy on everybody.
So true.
But if they've got land, they've got people, they've got technology to track phones.
Got contacts?
They've got contacts and context. Okay. Jen, thank you so much for offering up your ideas
and solutions. Thank you.
We'll add you to our roster of people who want to see us get a world record. This is fantastic.
Yay!
Is it here yet? Is it on yet? Is it here yet?
Since kids don't come with instructions, we're here to help. It's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Was this the whole topic of their podcast?
No. This was like a little extra. This was a little tidbit, a little aside, because usually the Kelce brothers on their New Heights podcast, they're interviewing sports celebrities about, you know, their lives. And this was just, I don't know, they had like a phone in. They had a mom of three who asked them for some parenting advice because she's got three kids who are all just, as she just said, feral. They're wild and they keep getting hurt. So she was asking the brothers for their thoughts. Jason Kelce has four girls, so he's definitely experienced as a parent.
Wait, was this the mom from Brave?
With the three little bear brothers?
Yes. She got turned into a bear.
Ah.
Those three kids, though, like if we just need a picture.
Yes.
That's what when you say three feral kids.
Those would be the feral kids.
Those little curly headed, red headed kids from Brave.
Exactly.
Just running amok.
Just running amok, but also getting injured, which is a huge problem. I always worry. I'm like, ooh, what does that look like? Ooh, you have too many bruises on your shins, kid. Why do you have? Every kid has so many bruises on their shins.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Injuries in general, right? They're kids. They're like tears. They're bouncy, but at some point they're going to fall and hurt themselves.
Right.
I tried to jump a moped off a ramp once. Bad call.
Why?
Because I'm a stupid kid.
Kids.
Because you're a kid.
And in one hand, kids will be kids.
Yes.
But in the other hand, like what can you do as the parent to help
navigate that
issue?
If I was wearing knee pads, shoulder pads, elbow pads, head pad, helmet, then I would not have cut my head open. I would not have had to go.
You didn't have safety gear on?
No, I did not.
Eric. See, yeah, that's the stuff. Like, if you had maybe a little bit of a buffer there, maybe you would have been okay.
But can I say, I don't want you wrapping your kids in bubble wrap because the world's the world, right?
No.
And you need to be able to react to it and also sometimes understand you're going to get hurt.
But we're also—
You can't overprotect.
We're having this conversation on the Z102.9 Facebook page, and Chris points out that for her kid, they had to get their eyes checked. Oh, man, kept tripping, falling down on the playground. It was because the kid couldn't see.
Thank goodness that was a natural conclusion, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, there are some issues where it's like, oh, maybe
it is weird
as a parent, I could swoop in here and solve this.
It's one thing if you do boneheaded things, jump a moped, right? That was dumb. But if you are just awkwardly, overly clumsy,
yes,
then maybe actually, like, let's check into that, see what's going on.
There might be something
else.
You
have a coordination issue. Maybe, everything's blurry and you can't see, right?
There are some factors where you could kind of, like, maybe I can help out here. What would you do if you were the parent, if you were the mom that was calling in and asking the Kelce brothers, of all people, for parenting advice?
My kids are crazy. How am I supposed to deal with them?
Help,
Let us know. 200-1029.
Helping raise your kids the scramble way. This week's Momtroversy on Z102.9.
Imagine you've got not one, not two, but three rambunctious children that are getting injured rather frequently. As a parent, what would you do if you were in that situation?
Is it because that's just how kids are? Are they wired that way? Are you feeding them too much sugar and energy drinks?
There are some things you could take some step back and see as a parent. Are there some little adjustments that we can make that would maybe give us some different results?
I think what I find interesting so far into this conversation is usually in a family, within the kids, you have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And not all three of them are going 110 miles per hour at the same time.
Yeah, this mom's got the triple whammy.
It sounds like it.
That they're all kind of in this same spot of getting injured. And it could be... Like a lot of times it happens in friendship groups where it's like somebody's got an idea and it's not a great one, but we're all going to do it because...
You could be a ringleader,
yeah.
Right?
So who's your instigator, Mom?
That's I was the oldest, and there's 5 years between Greg and me. So while I got them maybe into a little trouble, I don't think they were following me all the time because
mm-hmm.
there was just enough separation. Maybe those two guys, let alone Greg and Nick, that they could be getting into more problems.
Totally.
I always felt like Greg was more of the quiet one. It was Nick, the third born.
He's the one you got to look out for.
Also, I think he had the least amount of supervision because at some point the parents are like, you got it, right?
Parenting.
I got two kids who can watch you. And then we figured it out on the other two. So that this one, he's got it, right? I don't know. Different ways to look at it.
There are some different ways, but what would you do if you were in that situation as a parent?
Good morning.
Are you calling for Momtroversy?
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever dealt with a wild child?
Oh, yes, 100%. I have, yes. Although, weirdly, in my family, it's not the second born like everybody else's. It's the third born.
Hmm.
Right, but I do have kind of a side note for y'all. You should also be asking the parents what generation they are. Are they Gen X? Are they Gen Y? Are they millennial?
So you think there's going to be
gonna matter.
Different approaches based on how they grew up?
Yes, because I consider myself Gen X. I'm probably closer to Zennial, but... I consider myself Gen X, and I definitely is kids will be kids. They'll figure it out.
Hallelujah. Amen. I believe in that, too.
That they're just going to figure it out?
If I had a spectrum and it was let them figure it out or helicopter them to death, let them figure it out.
Let them figure it out?
Yeah. It might be a bump, a bruise. Heck, I fell off a couch into a radiator, bumped my head. You're going to go through I knocked out a tooth in fourth grade jumping through a swing. Right? That's just part of growing up. Now, three's a handful. I cannot deny that.
I think three is way too much.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be some sort of an adjustment because otherwise she's going to lose her sanity. She's already calling into the Kelsey brothers asking for help. That is a cry for help.
It's my last straw. I got to call my football podcast.
Who to call? Who to call? I know football players.
Well, I guess we're also asking people to call the morning scramble.
Yeah, but we're crowdsourcing this thing.
That's true.
Giving you one answer. We're coming up with many solutions.
Do you think generationally, though, also with two daughters, you approach that differently?
I think that I have experienced something completely different having daughters. I spent some time with my nephews this weekend at a playground, and it is so 110% different, boys versus girls, too. I just, they were rambunctious and scared of nothing.
Yeah.
Certain kids just, that's the mentality.
That's my nephew.
Full speed ahead.
In Des Moines.
Mm-hmm.
The game is called The Pillows on the Floor Fall Off the Couch. And I love watching that game. He's having a great time.
Does he just fall onto the pillows?
Yes, that's the game. And he bounces up and he laughs. And I get a little bit like, don't encourage him. I'm like, he's fine.
But it's
And fine. I'm also here, not to catch him, but
right.
If something was to go wrong, the next step is to get him medical attention. That's my job, is the uncle.
Thank you for that. I walk a thin line there between that's great, go be a kid, get your knees dirty and do all that stuff. But as a mom, I just don't want to see it get seriously hurt. I worry.
That's the world we're trying to navigate today with Momtroversy. If you've got a wild child or children who are always injuring themselves, what's it like in your household? How do you approach that? Let us know. 200-1029.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.